Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning, everybody. We've been talking about self-control for the last few Wednesdays with Dee Dee Hansen at The Growing Place and what the Bible says about self-control. And specifically, the Bible talks a lot about self-control when it pertains, well, at least last week we talked about anger, and controlling one's emotions, controlling one's anger, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and be slow to anger. And while those are wise words, and probably all of us say, well, of course, yes, that makes sense. I mean, how many of us really do that? How many of us are really quick to listen? And listen, or did I have that right? Yes, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We don't listen. And so many times during a conversation, somebody just can't wait to get their point in without actually hearing what the previous point was. We do that so often. Somebody says something, and I see this on the talk shows all the time, Dee Dee Hansen and The Growing Place. I see it constantly on CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and all the stations where they're having a debate, a conversation about political issues.
Yes, it's, yeah.
I can't watch it anymore. I'm so frustrated.
I can't either.
I said, that's enough. And because they start talking, they don't even finish their thought before somebody's literally interrupting them to interject their point.
It's real. In those situations, it's really not about communication. It's about winning the audience to your side.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's not really about thoughtfully listening and considering the other side and not, you know, it's about dehumanizing the other side, treating them as if they're an issue instead of a person,
mm-hmm.
and then just barking out, you know, whatever your viewpoint is.
And the sad part is that nobody learns anything when they're watching those shows.
No, the lines get hardened instead of...
It becomes a complete waste of time.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, so far with self-control, we've been talking about the type of self-control that is what CharacterLab.org calls interpersonal self-control. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to bring one example from the Bible of what they call work self-control. Now, we're not talking about works self-control, because for our dear brothers and sisters who are worried about grace and works, mm-hmm. we've already established that self-control is a grace that comes from God. Mm-hmm. From the Galatians 5 passage. So it's not about manufacturing self-control. But work self-control means putting the grace to work, putting the grace in action. And I thought, gosh, all the scriptures I'm citing all have to do with interpersonal relationship. Let's bring one forward from the Bible that has to do with our actions in terms of achieving a goal. Okay. And I thought of Matthew 24:13, where our Lord says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." And he's talking about the end times and all the awful tribulation and all the awful persecution and murders and apostasies that are going to go on. But then he interjects in there in verse 13 of Matthew 24, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." That's a biblical example of the action-oriented self-control, where my goal is to be with Jesus, so I have to endure. And then where does that endurance come from? It comes from God. It comes from His grace. It comes from His Holy Spirit resident in me. It's not me manufacturing endurance, but it's me saying yes to it. It's me saying no to the doubts. It's me saying no to the cowardice. So that was another example that I wanted to bring forth.
It made me think, none of us just have one issue. I'm always afraid I'm giving myself away because I have several issues.
You know, Jared, that's a sign of strength, that you can be transparent about your own issues.
I have, actually
a sign of strength.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. That's one good thing, I guess, with my issues.
Yeah.
But I find myself saying, I have myself hoping that if I have strength to control this, maybe another area I need to work on will automatically see self-control, because
it's going to be a whole lot easier.
Right.
It will be. When you have success in one area and you have those tools on board, you can now look at another area. And that's why you don't want to fight the war of self-control on many fronts. Just choose one area at a time. Otherwise, it's too overwhelming.
So if, let's say you have issue, you know, self-control issue A, self-control issue B, self-control issue C.
Yes.
I'm going to focus on A right now.
Yes.
And then A will overlap to B, B will overlap to C. And sometimes these things take time.
It does take time. Yeah. And it takes grace and it takes self-forgiveness and not self-condemnation when we slip up.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It does. So anyway, there are instances where in our Christian walk, we have to remain faithful in the face of persecution. Mm-hmm. And it's happening all over the world, and I believe it's coming to our nation as well. It has come, but I mean, it's really going to intensify here, where we will maybe have to choose between Jesus and our profession, or even Jesus and our life.
Right.
It could come.
Well, it has happened in many ways.
It's happening right now in many countries.
And in the United States, it has happened in other ways where somebody has, well, but not to the extent that we have seen, certainly in Europe.
Or in Iran, you know, where people are literally being tortured to deny Christ.
Right.
That's not going on. But we're getting persecuted here in much more subtle ways. And so we need to build up the self-control that says, I'm sticking with Jesus, come what may. I want to do it with wisdom. I want to do it with charity. I want to do it with grace. And these are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not me manufacturing it. But when he sends me those gifts, I want to be using them, and I want to be faithful.
It makes me think, when you say that, it makes me think of two things. It makes me think of Peter and Thomas. Peter, oh, here's the break. Peter, of course, denied Jesus. He didn't have the control, and he knew Jesus better than anybody. We'll get to it. We'll have a break. And Thomas knew Jesus better than anybody, and he wanted some. He wanted more proof than we get. We'll talk about that right after the break.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is live local talk.
So much more we want to get to with Dee Dee Hansen, including Job 31. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. We need to talk about that. And also, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-control in 2 Timothy. But very briefly, I mentioned something going into the break, Dee Dee, about how we think we're eventually going to be persecuted in this country. It could come to us. And I immediately thought of Peter. And so maybe he's the crutch that sometimes we hold on to. And we say, well, my God, Peter, who knew Jesus better than any of us will ever know him. And he denied him out of fear.
Yes, he did. And we know then that he repented.
Right.
And he said, I will follow you even unto death. And our Lord said, will you really? Well, tonight you'll deny me three times. Well, after he repented, he did follow our Lord even unto death.
He did.
He did.
He nailed himself
to
the crucifix.
So we may stumble. Yes. We may fall along the way. We may not be perfect, but Peter achieved the goal. Same with Thomas. Thomas is transparent, kind of like the way you are to all of our listeners. You know, I have this weakness, I have that weakness, and that's a beautiful quality. And that gives other people permission to deal with their own weaknesses.
Right.
That's really a good thing. And Thomas had this weakness of doubting, and he was honest about it. He wasn't a hypocrite. And he said what he said, and our Lord honored that. Our Lord came and erased his doubt.
I just have to hope that God wants a heart that is sincere, because I think that he'll accept.
He will. And even if we have an insincere heart, we can repent of it and say, God, give me a sincere heart.
Let's get to the last two scriptures.
Yes.
The last one is, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman.
Yeah, now that is about self-control.
That is.
That's about interpersonal self-control. So To make a covenant means I signed a contract.
Mm-hmm.
I've determined this.
And I think it's important to mention, this also applies to the women looking lustfully at a man.
Yes, it does.
Or a man looking lustfully at a man, or a woman looking lustfully at a woman. They all apply.
Yes.
But I think it's important to note there is a difference. In fact, I was talking to your husband, Father Hansen, about this, about the seven deadly sins. The difference between lust and admiring someone's beauty.
Absolutely.
My wife could look at George Clooney and say, he's a handsome guy. Well, that's fine. That doesn't bother me. Or I will go and I'll say, boy, I was a big Fleetwood Mac fan. Stevie Nicks. Stevie Nicks is an attractive woman. My wife goes, she is an attractive woman. But as long as it stops there, God created beauty.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with saying that person as an attractive person, but as long as it doesn't go to coveting, isn't that the delineation?
Or to lust.
Well, right. Coveting and lust are kind of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, that is the delineation. And I want to let our listeners know that, Lord willing, in January, there's going to be a men's group, and this depends on, public response. If enough mm-hmm. people sign up, there's going to be a men's group of dealing with the addiction of pornography, mm-hmm. and it's under the discipline of pure desire.
Mm-hmm.
Pure desire. And my husband hopes to be one of the co-facilitators of that group.
There is but that's a difficult one, because who's going to want to go to something like that and I'd be identified as somebody that...
Well, you'd be surprised. These groups are forming all over the place.
Is that right?
Because men want freedom, and there are a lot of men in the Christian church who are addicted to pornography.
Many of them are pastors.
And many of them are pastors, according to Dobson's mm-hmm. survey that he took back in the 90s. And yes, people want deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like AA, It's not for people who don't have this issue. It's not open to the public, and there is confidentiality as long as the group keeps it confidential.
Well, yeah, that would be something that people would probably be concerned about. But you're right. I hear people say, well, people should have freedom to do whatever they want. I have freedom to look at this, or I have freedom to do this or that. It's just the opposite. You're not free until you're no longer want that kind of thing. That's the thing that change you. Is the sin is what changed you. It's not the chains.
Yes, yes.
That's not the freedom to partake in this type of stuff.
Yes.
But anyway, let's continue.
And again, we have people who have sexual addictions, who are addicted to pornography, to masturbation, or to whatever it is. And there is hope and there is help in mm-hmm. our Lord with mm-hmm. all of those issues. And that brings us to the last scripture, which is, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-control. The Holy Spirit who lives inside of us is God resident inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he can lead us and help us in every area of our lives where we struggle with self-control,
mm-hmm.
where we know the standard and we fall short of it. I want to encourage listeners, don't try to do it on your own. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
We need God's grace. We need the ability from God to overcome these areas.
Do sometimes that people who are facing issues of self-control, they believe it needs to happen overnight. And many times it doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't. And that's a really debilitating expectation.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to really discourage you.
Mm-hmm.
We need to think of it more like a toddler who's learning to walk.
Mm-hmm.
The aim is to walk and then to run. But that toddler falls down, and what does the toddler do after that? Gets up again.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps on the track. Falls down, gets up. Falls down, gets up. And pretty soon stops falling down less, and pretty soon develops those muscles and those abilities to start running. Now, can falling down happen later in life? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
We're all human. But the point is to get up again.
Right.
The point is to get up again and keep your eyes on the goal.
It's difficult in this society. Well, we're going to take a break. We have one more segment with Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place. By the way, if you want to set up an appointment with Gidi for any number of issues you may have, maybe it's an addictive issue, maybe it's marital problems, it could be just about anything, maybe some relationships with your parents, your loved one, you can give her a call at 588-0448. 588-0448. Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place, a licensed marriage and family therapist. We'll finish up today's chat after this break.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
We're talking about self-control and positive psychology. And self-control is a difficult thing for us to talk about. It's hard for me to talk about because we all have problems that we struggle with. And none of us are perfect. We all have these things. And we're quick to anger. We might have addictions. We might have compulsive behavior. We might not. And I wonder, and it's difficult not to get discouraged because we're, after all, just human beings. And so what we've been talking about with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, a licensed marriage and family counselor, is the ability to gain control of our lives and have some self-control, and why God, he demands it of us, doesn't he?
Yes, the Lord, I think I wouldn't put it in terms of he demands us of us. He commands us, and he also gives us the grace through his Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Mm-hmm. And what we need to learn to do is we need to learn how to partner with the Holy Spirit to walk along the path. The very first scripture we used, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We need to learn how to partner with him, to allow him to produce these fruits in our lives. That, for our Christian listeners, is the key. For our non-Christian listeners, the key is to link my behavior today with the consequences down the road. What is it going to produce for me if I keep continuing down this path that I'm on? And that's one way, you know, that's behavioral psychology. I'm going to change my behavior because this is going to lead to a positive end and this is going to lead to a negative end. And just having that awareness of actions, reactions, and consequences is going to help me make a better choice.
So when somebody calls upon the Holy Spirit, there's a temptation in front of them, and they call upon the Holy Spirit. I don't want to engage in this behavior, but still does. What is that doing to the relationship with the Holy Spirit when that happens?
Well, it's, you know, the Holy Spirit understands our struggles. So I don't want to be quick to judge or condemn anybody who's caught in a bad cycle. You know, I would just say listen for the Holy Spirit's counsel. Don't just ask him to help me with this and then put the phone down and not have the phone line open. When we ask for his help, we need to sit quietly in his presence and allow him to help us. Right? So we need to be receptive to what it is he wants to impart to us.
You made a joke a few weeks ago, and it was a pastor that made a joke. He said the best way not to have temptation is just to give in to the temptation.
Exactly.
The temptation is gone.
Yes.
And then there's no more temptation.
For that moment.
For that moment.
And then it comes back, and it comes back stronger than ever each time.
Right.
You know. And we got to remember, we have an enemy out there who's trying to lead us astray.
Right.
So we need God's help with that, too.
Does God, I'm always interested in what Jesus talks about self-control. But give me, he's the guy that knows it all.
You know, just look at the Sermon on the Mount. Look at the Beatitudes. I mean, it's just full of making the right choices. You know, blessed are you when men shall persecute you and slander you and do all manner of evil against you for the kingdom's sake. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. What he's saying is take your focus off yourself and off your injuries and understand there's a reward coming. That's all about self-control. That's all about, that's the work or action-oriented self-control. It says, I'm going to stick to the path of following Jesus, no matter how hard it gets, because I know the end of the story. So a lot of what Jesus tells us about self-control, number one, he preached about, but number two, he exemplified.
You know, I think about when I get into a workout stage, usually I see that scene in Rocky where he's running up the steps, and I get all the music, and I think, I'm going to start doing that. So I go out to the gym, and I'm starting to run, and I'm feeling it. And then the next day, it ends. Okay, it's all gone. You know, the desire is ended. I have fulfilled my duty. I ran as hard as I could for a half an hour, 45 minutes, and I did my workout. It's the second day, and it gets easier after the second day. And then if you do it the third day, and then the fourth day.
Because you're changing a habit, and
it takes
time to change habits.
Yeah.
So we have to give ourselves that grace.
Right.
So maybe instead of running for an hour or 45 minutes the first day, run for 15 minutes, and then run for 15 minutes the next day. Instead of saying, I have to run every day, maybe say, let me run 3 or 4 days out of the week.
Right.
And I'll start small, and I'll extend it by 5 minutes each time. It's a lot easier to keep that.
Right.
Than to try to do it all at once.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is I think just that desire to do something, you can do it for one day. It's being able to consistently say, to stay on track, to be disciplined, not to eat, not to do something, or to do something. I'm going to regularly do this.
Well, and you know, I something has really kind of resonated in my spirit for you and for all the listeners who struggle with the donut.
Mm-hmm.
Diabetes is an ugly thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just Google pictures of people's feet, arms, and hands who said yes to the donut and no to wisdom.
Yeah.
It's out there.
Yeah.
You can just start to Google images of diabetes and it'll take you right there. So many people go there.
I feel I do need to say this. The donut is just sort of just an image I use. I don't have a donut every day. It's like once or twice a week. I use this as an example.
Right. But a lot of people have that sweet addiction or the carb addiction.
Right.
And it ends in an ugly place.
We are all out of time. Gidi, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place. You can always give her a call at 588-0448 if you'd like to learn more about yourselves or any problems you may have in your life. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.